So throughout Lent, we have followed Jesus through Luke. We started at 9:51, chapter 9, verse 51, where it said, he set his face toward Jerusalem. And we have followed Jesus along that path, and now he is entering into Jerusalem. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, and he knows that he is coming to die. But the disciples, they haven't figured that out yet. They don't quite understand it. And the general expectation among the Jewish people was that the Messiah was coming to set them free from Roman oppression. Their thinking was that the Messiah was going to come and be some kind of a warrior king and shake off the Roman oppression that had kept them shackled for so long. And I bet that's what the crowds are even thinking this day, even as Jesus enters into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. There is this expectation that somehow Jesus is going to save the Jewish people from Roman oppression. The truth is, Jesus is here to do something quite different. Our text comes from Luke. It is chapter 19, verses 29 through 40. So hear these words as he enters into Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. No palms in this one. Instead, it's cloaks. No hosannas in this one. Instead, it is praise to the King who comes. So in this text, Jesus tells the disciples to go ahead and that they will find a colt, which is a young male donkey, that has never been ridden. Now, I don't know how many times you have read this passage, but I bet a lot of you have just blown by this whole idea that it has never been ridden. It's actually quite important. Because in the Old Testament, animals that were set apart for something holy were to never be ridden, to never be worked. And so Jesus comes and rides this donkey that has never been ridden, and it is a symbol of his having been set apart. He being the one that enters into Jerusalem as the king. And then second, it shows Jesus' authority over creation. The symbolism of the donkey is that he comes in peace. But you think about an animal that has never been ridden. I know the Eastmans are horse people. They're going, yeah, it's never been ridden, and he just jumps on it and rides it? Yeah, but he doesn't. Because Jesus' authority over creation is evident as he gets on this never-before-ridden animal and rides it in. And a king entering on a donkey is a symbol that he comes in peace. If he were coming in war, the king would come on a horse, a war horse, right? But instead, Jesus enters on a humble donkey. And the symbolism is that he's coming in peace. And there is so much symbolism in this passage, so much that is happening here. I can only think that Jesus did this on purpose. He did this so that it happened in this way, so that the symbolism for the people, the Jewish people, is so rich. You see, Jesus is entering from the east. It had been the anticipation that the Messiah would come from the east. Zechariah 9:9 is reminiscent of this, and they're talking about the shouts of praise. Reminiscent of Psalm 118, which is a victory psalm, laying their cloaks at the feet of King Jehu in 2 Kings. The symbolism goes on. Jesus is entering Jerusalem from the east to go to the temple, and he will enter through the golden gate or the mercy gate. He's coming in through the door of mercy and repentance. Jewish tradition said that the Messiah would enter through that gate, and historically the glory of God, the Shekinah of God, would enter the temple from there. And then when I was reading verse 38, it says this, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Does that sound familiar? In Luke's birth narrative, peace on earth and goodwill towards those whom he favors. 2:14. Now that the cry is that peace is in heaven, at his birth, at Jesus' birth, heaven announced that peace was coming to earth. But at his arrival in Jerusalem, the crowd can only say peace in heaven. Because the fact of the matter is that we are just about to reject the peace that came in Christ. The earth is not ready to receive the peace of Christ that has come. The truth is that they are about to crucify their king. Jesus' birth was announced to the world by a chorus of angels to the shepherds. The King of Kings comes into Jerusalem, and his arrival is announced by his followers. Peace came in the form of the Christ child, but it is in the act of being rejected by the very people who claim to follow him. They still don't understand. They still don't understand why Jesus has come. The crowd is shouting Jesus' praise, calling him the king. And the Pharisees asked Jesus to quiet down your people. And Jesus said, if they were quiet, these very stones would shout out. These Pharisees, they're scared. Calling anybody else a king, well, that could get you in trouble. That could get you crucified. Because you were saying that someone else is king other than Caesar. But I love that Jesus tells them that if these disciples were quiet, the very stones would cry out. There is an air of inevitability about this. That Jesus' arrival and what it means for the world cannot be stopped. And if you were to try, all of creation would shout out his praise. Jesus is entering as a king, only to be crucified. Did you know that there was another parade in Jerusalem? That same day, as Pontius Pilate entered the city from the west, it would have been a huge parade with music, 1,000 soldiers marching through the streets, Pilate showing up on a war horse trained to fight. It is likely that the crowd that saw the Jesus parade also saw the Pilate parade. What a juxtaposition. On one hand, you have the King of Kings entering on a humble donkey, the praises of his disciples being shouted out. And on the other hand, you have the power of the world coming on parade with 1,000 troops, a fanfare, reinforcing what the world tells us about what is important: status, might, power, oppression, and fear. Jesus enters through the gate of mercy. And Pilate enters through the gate of do what I tell you or I'll kill you. Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, not to take power. He's come to die. He's come to Jerusalem not to grab power, but to transform it. Jesus had set his face toward Jerusalem, knowing that it would lead to the cross. What we can't miss here is that Jesus is not lacking power. Jesus is redefining power. Coming as a King of Kings to die, that salvation might come to the world. So there were two parades that day in Jerusalem. One had the King of Kings entering humbly on a donkey, and you had Pontius Pilate entering with all the power that Rome can muster. So the real question for you this day is, which parade are you a part of? Are you a part of Jesus' parade? Are you a part of the world's parade? Being defined by power and status and money and wealth. The truth is, it's not what you say. It's not what you might believe in theory. But it's how you live your life that tells yourself and the world which parade you are a part of. The parade of Jesus that comes to die that we might receive salvation. We're a part of the world's parade in which we pursue power and status and wealth and self-importance. How you live matters. Because if we're just basing it on what we say, it's pretty easy to find ourselves blending into the crowd on Friday as they crucify Jesus. It's how you live your life that sets you apart. Which parade are you a part of? Let us pray. Almighty God, we so want to be a part of your parade. Help us to live a life that says that we are a part of your parade. Father, that you would send your Son to die for us, and that he would knowingly enter Jerusalem to be crucified. Oh, what love is this? Oh, what love is this that would die for me, a sinner? Almighty God, help us to be a part of the Jesus parade by the choices we make and by the way we live our life. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.